We're going to be looking today at the last two spheres. I'm putting them together simply because they really do entangle each other so much. The spheres of media and the arts and entertainment. Okay? So today, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Because I want to start with the Word, and then we're going to work our way through the Word, and we're going to talk a little bit about each of these different aspects. And the first one, as I said, is going to be Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I think it's funny, you know, we allow times of silence here because everybody needs to turn because we all get into the Word, amen? Amen. And it's so funny because I speak with other pastors and they say, oh, why don't you just put it up on the screen, then you can just keep going. I said, do you realize how important it is for people to get acquainted with their Bible, amen? Amen. Because it's one thing to have it always projected to you, but it's another thing to open the book and find where it is. Because then you're getting familiar with Christ. I want you to remember that. Every time you're flipping through the Bible, you are getting familiar with Christ. For He is the Word. Amen? Amen. Amen. So from the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, here are the words of the Lord. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen, amen on that word? Amen. Today we're going to be talking about the media and arts and entertainment. And all of these things fall into this realm of reality. That in our world today, the media has become a politically correct entity. They don't worry about truth. What they worry about is being politically correct and following the agenda that has been set, that the course of action that those who are in power, those who have money and prestige, want to guide this world. They want to guide our world away from Jesus Christ. Why? Because in Him is full authority. In Him is true moral virtue. And if we can take away the authority of Christ, which you can never take it away, you can deny it, but you can never take away from the Creator His creation. That is just plain stupidity. Okay? But we're going to try to understand a little bit about the media and arts and entertainment. Because the media has a mindset that says we're going to go in a particular direction. And today, what I want us to do is think about how much we need to pray for those men and women. Because some of those men and women are Christians who are being forced by their bosses to say and do things. Now, it amazes me because on 9/11, 2001, when the trade towers were tumbling down, when the Pentagon was slammed into, and when that aircraft went down in western Pennsylvania, nobody was talking politically correct, were they? At that point in time, when it was found out what happened, it was Islamic extremists. Today, no commentator is allowed to use those words. They must call it something else. We had an Islamic extremist down in Florida, in Orlando, pull out his religious gun, and I'm calling it a religious gun because he didn't do that because he had a gun. He did that because he had a religion that said it was wrong, and he was going to do something about it. Rather than being as a Christian would and saying, yes, that's wrong, we're not going to kill those people, we're going to pray them into heaven. We're going to get them saved because life matters to us. What does that mean then when the media begins to acquiesce to such things? You see, life does not matter to them either. An agenda matters. So they will use it to turn the tide to what they want. When this happened, you didn't hear anything about Islamic extremists other than the fact that, well, he was of Islam. But the next thing you know, they're attacking the NRA because he had a gun. And we need tighter gun restriction. No, he was in an area where you were not allowed to have a gun. Therefore, none of the people who were there were armed, and they couldn't defend themselves. I have something I want to tell you, and it's going to go out over the internet. There are four times a year your pastor carries a gun in this sanctuary. Always have and always will. And I also know that right now there's at least one, possibly two people carrying in this audience. Because we understand our rights and we understand the authority Christ has given us, because we need to be protectors of the sheep. The lambs are here, and we need to make sure that the wolves don't get in. And if they do and raise their ugly heads, we're going to take them out. Now, there are people on TV right now or out there on the internet are saying, oh my God, he just threatened people. No, I just spoke the truth. I didn't threaten anybody. You see, what happens with the media is they turn a truth into a threat. I'm not threatening anybody. I have no one in particular in mind. A threat has to be particularly identified. I'm simply saying this. This is the Lord's house. And in this place, we will worship the Lord. And in this place, we will respect the Lord. And if you won't respect the Lord, he's given me the authority as pastor. He says in the 23rd Psalm, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, if I need to be the staff and rein you in to keep you from harm, or if I need to be the rod to beat out the wolves and the bears and the lions, I'm going to do just that. That's what I'm told to do. That's who I'm told to be. And the media doesn't want us to see that. That's just one aspect. Because we need to understand, media is a much larger area than most of us think. Most of us think the media, you know, we're talking about newscasters. Media has everything to do with anything that is publicized. Whether it's the internet or a magazine, a radio program, Facebook, Twitter, you know, what are some of the other things that are out there that everybody's tied into? And one of the things that amazes me is there is so much information available today that people don't know where to turn and they don't know what to believe, because the information that is coming, much of it is junk. Much of that information is junk information. It's just filling space because people want to have a voice. People want to feel that they have a following. And it's so amazing. Do you want me to prove that? How many of you have more than 20 people on your Facebook or Twitter or whatever as far as your friends are concerned? I think it's amazing. Because I want you to sit down and I want you to look at that list and I want you to see or ask yourself, how many of these people have sat at my table and eaten bread with me? I know a young lady, it was so funny, because she said to her parents that they need to get a life. Well, her parents were retired and they were never home. But they were always together out bicycling and meeting people and intermingling and getting to know folks. They needed to get a life. She said, I have over 500 friends. How many do you have? And they said, wait a minute. We're out bicycling. We're meeting people. We're doing all this stuff. How do you have 500 friends? Well, look at my Facebook account. I talk to over 500 people every day. They said, wait a minute, sweetie. How many of those people do you actually have FaceTime with? How many of those people have you been involved with? How many of those people have you touched? Oh, none of them. Because she sat in her living room and texted them over Facebook. She had people that she knew from Argentina and New Zealand and Mexico, people she would never meet in her life. And my question is this: how much of what those people are telling you is real? Remember, they're never going to meet you. They don't have to worry about what they say or do. And a lot of the stuff that comes in on these things is so fake and so hyperboled, it's unreal. Do you understand hyperbole? What is hyperbole? Exaggeration, okay? If you ever use the word never, you've just used hyperbole, okay? Because there's only one person in all of existence who can ever use the word never. Who is it? Jesus Christ. Our triune God is the only one who can ever use that word and actually be speaking truth. Okay? When we think about the media and how much they report, they do not report anymore. Years ago, we had news reporters. Today, we have what? Commentators. Okay? They commentate. They tell us what we're supposed to believe. They tell us what we're supposed to think. They are programming us. It happens all throughout the internet. It happens all throughout the magazines because all of it has a bent. And we need to understand that from the scripture that we just read here, that these people are living in this kingdom. They are being powered, they are being empowered by the prince of the air. Who is that, folks? Satan himself. This is his world, okay? We sing the hymn, "This is my Father's world," okay? And we know that God created all this. But what we also know is for this time, Satan has been loosed here. And this is his world. This is where he is ruling and reigning. And this is where he is allowing sin to encroach upon every living soul. So when we see these things that are happening in the media, we need to be in prayer. We need to pray for the people who own those stations. We need to pray for those commentators. Because every now and then, one of them will stand up and say something outside the norm. But have you ever noticed that when they do, they're generally gone for a couple of days? Have you ever noticed that? It's kind of amazing because they get disciplined. If you won't play by the rules, we'll unplug you. And it is so amazing because how many of us will unplug ourselves for the sake of righteousness? In this world, it will happen to the extent that we love Christ. And for many people, the extent that they love Christ ends right here. When you hit somebody in the wallet, it hurts harder than hitting them in the heart. Did you ever notice that? Because that's how the prince of this world works. He thinks if we can get you worried about your temporal stuff, that you'll give up. I want you to think about it differently. The moment you're ready to throw this away, who do you think is going to step in and make sure you have everything you need? The one who gave it all to us anyhow. Because he's the one who really owns it, isn't he? We need to think outside the box. We need to pray for these people outside the box. We need to pray that more Christian commentators would come up, more Christian reporters would come up and speak the truth in love. Because love hurts, doesn't it? I'm asking you a question. Love hurts, doesn't it? Because love says no. Love disciplines. It so amazes me because everybody reads Corinthians chapter 13, right? And all of a sudden we have to ask ourselves, or Colossians 13, all of a sudden we have to ask ourselves, is love kind? Is love long-bearing? Is love? Yes, it is. But there are some other things that love is too. Is it Colossians? Oh, it is 1 Corinthians? I was right the first time around. I'm looking around and people are looking at me weird and I'm thinking, okay, I messed up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Most people want it read at their weddings. I hate to read it at weddings because it doesn't mean anything if it's just words. Because we need to remember too that love does hurt. Love is responsible. Love says no. How many of you love your children? Adults, have you ever said no to your child? Have you ever disciplined your child? You know what I mean. Love says no, because there is a way that is right. Okay? And then the scripture says there is a way that is right according to man, and in the end leads to death. We need to remember that we need to grab a hold of God's word and live in His word. For He tells us that He, through His rich mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. That's what we just read, didn't we? We need to remember that many of these people are dead in their transgressions. Some of them are practicing Christians. They'll tell you that. But are they truly practicing Christians if they're not willing to stand up for their faith? No, they're not. And that's a harsh reality, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for the editors and for the folks that are in charge of social networking and what have you. From 1 John 5 and 20, we hear these words. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. This is what I was speaking to the children, to Alex. That God is coming, Jesus Christ has come, the Son of God has come, and He has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He is the true God and eternal life. Okay? We gain understanding by being in Christ. I think it's so amazing. I went to South Carolina, and I'm going to use this as a reality. Went down to South Carolina, and I'm preaching in a Baptist church, okay? And the pastor was kind of concerned, because anytime you have another pastor speaking out of your pulpit, who's responsible for what's being spoken in that pulpit? That pastor, okay? God has called that pastor to that church, and he is being accountable for every word that gets spoken out of that pulpit. So the pastor was there, all right? And he's listening to me preach. And some of you have been to some of my services, but this one was kind of different. Because I didn't speak a whole lot about my sister Tammy. All right? I spoke some because it tied in. But I truly presented the gospel of Jesus Christ in its full integrity. And you have all heard me speak about how Christ went down into hell with all our sin and shook it off, and then He stood there in His full glory before Satan, because up until that moment, Satan thought he had won because he saw the defeated Christ. But remember, the defeat that was on Him was ours. It wasn't His defeat, because inside He was still sinless, right? He just had an outer garment on. How many of us have outer garments on right now? The day's going to come when we're going to shed these things too. We're going to shed this outer garment, and He's going to give us a glory, a righteousness that is the full righteousness of Himself. Okay? And I spoke that to these people, and this pastor, he's standing there, he's shaking his head yes, and I'm like, wow, yeah, he's really getting into this. When the service was over, he came up to me and he said, Pastor Dubs, I have never had anybody express to me the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ like you just did. He said, oh my goodness, I was concerned what you were going to say. He said, man, were my fears availed. He said, you really believe, don't you? I said, I don't only believe, I live it. I am this man. He has saved me from myself so many times, it is unreal. And that happens because we love Him, because He gives us understanding. He fills our lives with the knowledge that He is real, He is there, but we have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And it so amazes me how many people are blind. They follow the programming that we're being given through media, arts, and entertainment. Those three idioms are the most three powerful idioms on this table. Do you realize that? They influence our life so much. How many of you listen to music every day? That's awesome. Do you know how much I listen to music? I listen to music on Sunday. And I listen to music when pastor needs to get close to the Lord. I you can ask Lynn. She'll tell you. Where is she? Over there. When I'm down, when my spirit's being oppressed, I go for understanding. And I get my computer and I start searching for the songs that I love. And I start playing them. And I start singing them. And before you know it, I have worshiped myself right out of the doldrums, right into the glory of Christ. And that's what we need to pray for these people. We need to be in the Spirit. We need to be in the Spirit every moment of every day. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 20, put on the full armor of God every day. Because as we do, then we're ready to go out in battle. But the amazing thing is, are we told in that scripture that we are to fight against these powers? Are we to fight against entertainment and arts and media and government and business and education and family and religion? Are we to fight against them? No, it says once you have put on the armor and you have done everything, stand and stand firm. And what? Pray. We need to pray because prayer is going to avail much. What do you think brought five people into the house of the Lord? What do you think brought this reality, five people into the kingdom? You folks were praying for me, for peace, for clarity, for God to use Pastor and to just quiet my heart. It succeeded, and look at the fruit you are bearing. Okay? And you're bearing it from the life of one of our own little ones because she's heard the word of truth and the encouragement to spread the word of God. And what happened? Two of her friends have come to the Lord. That's truth. You cannot deny it. But arts, media, entertainment, they all want you to deny the things of our faith. Because once you have denied it, once you have walked away from it, the understanding begins to get dulled. Have you ever noticed that? The older I get, I realize God does things in a physical sense to teach us spiritual realities. Have you ever noticed that? Okay. The older I get, the less I do things, the more it hurts when I try to do them. Amen? Am I the only one? Some people are looking at their spouses. Others are just laughing at me. Because they're like, yeah, I can remember when I used to could too. If we do not exercise our spiritual being, it becomes harder to do it because we become lethargic. We need to be out there exercising our faith every day in every way. Whenever you see something that comes up, whenever you see, and I hate this, you know, the other day I was on the internet, I was looking something up, I was looking for pictures of something, and I saw this cross and this gentleman standing on a cross, and he was completely naked, and I'm thinking, what on earth is that even doing in these images? But that's the internet. When you put in a search, you get anything that comes up even close to it. And I went to cancel out of it, and I realized, oh my goodness, that's a photograph. And they're claiming this is such a beautiful photograph, and it's a naked gentleman, a homosexual gentleman, on a cross because he had a sash. Everything was black and white except the sash. The sash was a rainbow. That was art. Completely and totally acceptable. Yeah, we ought to hang that in the school, right, for little kids to see. Well, yeah, that's art. But yet, don't we call that pornography? Oh, no, 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 not in this sphere. In this sphere, it's art. In this sphere, it's free speech, right? We need to understand that God gives us understanding and we need to speak the truth into the darkness. Amen? No matter where it comes from. One of the next things that we need to understand is how to pray and move from Ephesians chapter 4. If you still have your Bible open, all you have to do is flip back just a couple of pages to 17 through 24. So this I say from verse 17 in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God is being created in righteousness and holiness of truth. It amazes me when I think about that reality and how it plays out. How many of us have seen the sports players? You know, they'll score a touchdown or they'll hit a home run and they come around or they go through the goal and they point to heaven, right? Because they're giving God glory. Amen? Do you know some of them are being fined for those kinds of things? That's truth. That's not a lie. Because they're not allowed to have those physical outbursts anymore. All right? That's just like, and it's funny because you're not allowed to spike the football either. What the heck? And don't throw it into the stand. You see, they do those things so they can get you to stop glorifying God. If we take out all of it, you can't do any of it. Do you see how they come around to it? We need to understand that there are men and women out there who are in sports. Now, I want you to think about this. How many people that get into sports truly get corrupted? How many people do you know that came from nothing? And most of them did. I want you to think about this. Many of our ball players are from Puerto Rico and some of the other Hispanic countries. Many of them are from here in the United States, but many of them are coming out of impoverished areas. Am I correct? Our football players and basketball players are coming from some of the hardest struck areas of our country. And they're coming from nothing. They're coming from obscurity. Some of our basketball players that play for the United States are actually foreigners that they've gone out and gotten. And you know they were third world country people. And all of a sudden they're brought in here and they're given millions of dollars. What do you think happens when you take a person who has had absolutely nothing, or at least very little, and you give them millions of dollars? Have you ever watched the news? How many people who are in sports or in entertainment, talking movie stars, okay? I love that term, don't you? Because they certainly don't shine in my eyes. How many of those people have fallen so hard because they're given a status of glamour, they're given money, they're given power, they're given prestige, and what happens? They fall. You see, God knew, Jesus Christ knew, during the time of the temptation. How many of you remember the time of Christ's temptation? Okay? When Satan was talking to him and he said to Christ, he said, "Worship me and I will make you the ruler of everything." How good do you think that looked to Jesus at that moment? After he had been literally starved for 40 days and 40 nights, he had been out there in the wilderness. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink, okay? And please, that is a reality. He had nothing to eat, nothing to drink for 40 days, 40 nights, right? And Satan's tempted him. You can have all this. How many of us, if Satan put all that out there in front of us, would turn from it? How many of us would want it? I'm going to be honest with you. I have a lottery ticket in my wallet right now. Do you know what I would do with it if I won? We would have one of the most awesome churches you would ever see in your life. And we would be funding missions throughout the world because I'm going to tell you, I don't need a whole lot. In fact, everything I have is what I've ever needed because God gave it to me. If I won, and that's my whole glory, Lord, let me win. Because if I would, I'd put it right back into your kingdom. So do you think he's going to let me win? No, he's not going to let me win. He's just going to let me hold on to that dream. Because the reality is he's already won, amen? And that's what we need to realize is you know, Christ looked at that temptation and he said, "You fool, I'm already the master of it all. Because he knew who he was. Do we know who we are? Most of us walk around with one foot in the grave. And we should have both feet in glory. Do we know who we are? We need to stand up, kick butt, and take names to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Get that foot out of the grave, brothers and sisters. These people here, you know, the futility of their mind darkened them. Are we all stuck in it? Yes, we are. How many of us are stuck in that darkness? How many of us are waiting for the day when there'll be nothing more but light and day? Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious day. When you and I can come to that place of realizing that we need to let the sun shine in us. Okay? Did you catch that? We need to let the S-U-N shine in us. He is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray for these people. We need to ask God to move in arts and entertainment. In the book of Hebrews, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to remember that even though adversity may come into our way for a short period of time, the glory of eternity is ours forever. Boy, somebody better be saying amen. Am I the only one fired up here today or what? I go to a graduation service and get pumped up. 124 degree heat. Man, I'll tell you what, that's as close to hell as I want to get. Colossians 3 and 5 tells us this. It's my last scripture of the day. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Let us walk in the purity of Jesus Christ. Let us remember, yes, we are going to fail because we're human and we're stuck in this flesh. So there are going to be times of shortcoming. But we need to repent of those things and turn from them and walk in them no more. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard. But how hard do you think it is going to be for these people who are in this stuff if we, the church, cannot be that guiding light to give them hope and grace and glory? They want to shut us up. We need to be speaking it from the mountaintops. We need to be giving glory to the Lord in every aspect, which means in the public place. When you see somebody hurting, you need to stop and pray for that individual. When you see something going on in arts and entertainment or in the media, you need to stop immediately and pray at that very moment for that individual and for things to change in our world. I'm going to tell you all right now, it says in the scriptures that if we, a nation, will humble ourselves and pray, God will hear from heaven and he will come and heal our land. Amen? It ain't going to happen no more. Because our land has turned from him. But souls can be turned. Right there's proof. Isn't it amazing how God gives us the illustrations and all we have to do is have eyes to see? Because God is into winning souls. God doesn't care about the nations anymore because the nations have turned from him. When did that happen? It happened at the cross. At the cross, Jesus said, God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him. That got to the individual, didn't it? Took it away from nations and brought it home. That whosoever shall believe in him shall be saved. We need to remember it's personal, it's real. We need to pray for these people on a very real basis because God's not going to heal the land but God's going to grab hearts. We're told in the book of Jude that we are to be snatching them right out of the flames. As they are passing into hell, we need to be ripping them out. We need to not be afraid of the flame because it won't hurt us. It can't hurt us because it has nothing to do with us and we with it. But we can walk right into it and pull people out of that hell and they will see and know glory. But have we the heart to do it? My challenge to you this day, and this is our last sermon on this spheres. Miss Sally's looking at me. We're not going to deal with the individual spheres anymore. We're going to have one more wrap-up after the picnic next week. And at that point in time, I want you to think about what you want written on here, because we're going to be looking at our prayers. That whole banner is going to get spread out, and we're going to see everything that we've been praying for. So today and next week, I want you to think long and hard about what needs to be on that paper, not what you put on it, but what needs to be on that paper, and I want to see that paper filled up. Because there are people and places and events and things happening in this world that we need to put on there. And we need to fill it up. And then we need to understand that God will move in them. I mean, I can tell you right now, God answered prayers. You folks were praying for my family. Okay? God answered that prayer. The peace that was there, the wonder that was there, the joy that was there, and the fact that souls came to heaven during the service. Was God there? Yes, because you were on your knees. You see, God loves His people, and He wants to give us good gifts. What greater gift is there than a soul going to heaven? What greater gift is there than a soul going to heaven? There is none. There is no greater thing. Yeah, Alex. Yeah, Alex. I don't know if any of you saw that, but I sure did. As Pastor was saying that, he was clapping. Because the innocence of the children sees the Spirit of the Lord a whole lot better than we who have had our minds dulled by life. Today, I want us to pray. Get on your feet. I want us to pray that God would move in and through us, that the sunshine of Christ would come through each and every one of us out into this darkness. We see these two candles every week, and we know what they represent, but are they in here? And are they shining for the world to see? Let us shine for Christ. Gracious Father, we come before You in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And oh, Lord Jesus, we just ask that You would empower us to be the church, that we would pray for each sphere of influence in our world, that we would truly be a voice of one calling in the wilderness. For Lord, there are those who long to come and know, as is proof here even behind me now, that Lord, as we speak Your truth, that they will come. And it's not about the fact that they may come into this church, but that they come into Your kingdom. For Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For we build not our own kingdom, Lord, but we're here to build Your kingdom, no matter where that may be, Lebanon, Tanzania, Mozambique, Nicaragua, wherever, Lord, may we speak the word of Jesus Christ with truth and love. And that may mean rebuke. But Lord, may we speak it true and clear, and may we hold to Your love and Your word. For Lord, in them we find the hope of all glory. We find the salvation of our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's church says, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.